From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you and welcome once more to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in. We do appreciate you tuning our way today to join us as we consider a little further in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ as the great physician of bodies and souls. So stay with us as we look a little further into God's Word. First, however, we have our hot topic for today, the Bible back in public schools. Teaching the Bible is making a comeback in some public schools. After years of exclusion, it has been reintroduced into a number of school districts as a high school elective. Of course, it must be taught in a secular way. That is, it can't be presented as the Word of God or as absolute truth, but must be taught in much the same way as other literatures taught. Supporters of the secular teaching of Scripture maintain that a person can hardly be said to have received an education if he's left ignorant of the basic content of the book that has, more than any other, shaped the course of Western civilization. They argue that there's an appalling ignorance of the contents of the Bible, with half of America's population being unable to name even one of the Gospels, or the first book of the Bible. The ignorance extends even to professed evangelicals. According to the Barna Group, only 44% of evangelical teenagers could recognize a quotation from the Sermon on the Mount. So, it's argued, there are pressing reasons for a Bible literacy course in public schools. Teaching the Bible in a secular manner in public schools is perfectly constitutional. Even the Supreme Court, 1963 decision that removed prayer and devotion from the classroom, maintained this. Though there are some who want to keep the Bible out of all classrooms in the public school, most seem to welcome the inclusion of Bible literacy courses. Christians are divided on the issue. Some think this is a great step forward, and that to expose teenagers to the Bible, even as literature, can be nothing but good. Others are not so sure, and see the dangers inherent in such a course. I'm all in favor of making it possible for more people to gain a knowledge of the contents of the Bible, but I'm acutely aware of the perils of loosing skeptics to use a secular Bible course to oppose Scripture. I well remember taking Bible classes in high school. Our teacher was a rank infidel who used the Bible to advance his own agenda and to attack just about everything that a Bible believer holds dear. He presented the content of the Bible in such a way as to hold its historical claims up to ridicule, without any counter-argument. That kind of Bible teaching does nothing to increase Bible literacy. It compounds the problem, for it instills unbelief into young minds and uses the Bible itself to do so. In the current experiment in public schools, the model demands a comparative religion approach, almost a syncretistic approach. For example, a teacher quoting Christ's golden rule, "Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets," Matthew 7, verse 12, will introduce similar statements from other so-called holy books. The bottom line is that this is the general consensus of the great world religions. Now, Jesus said that the origin of this golden rule is the law and the prophets, and the comparative religion approach effectively denies this. Again, a secular study of an eye for an eye compared to turn the other cheek would have Christ rejecting the Old Testament law, whereas he was correcting the Pharisaic misuse of that law. Christians need to be careful about letting the devil establish the groundwork for teaching the Bible. Bible literacy is a good thing, but banning the Bible's claims to be God's Word from the classroom is to try to bias education on a lie.
Within God's precious Word are found truth and mercy. Together they're stronger than one. To beg God's mercy when sin within is hidden. Neglects the truth and mercy cannot be won. For once we face the truth, we'll find mercy,
mercy.
Mercy that gives way for one more try. The truth that we've offended him, his body bruised by our sin. We'll find mercy when the truth we can't deny. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, his mercy is great. Whenever I find the need to beg my Father's mercy, I'll face the truth of my own sinful state. For once we face the truth, we'll find mercy. Mercy that gives way for one more try. The truth that we've offended him, his body bruised by our sin. We'll find mercy when the truth we can't deny.
We'll find mercy when the truth.
If you're a regular listener to Let the Bible Speak, you will no doubt have heard me mention the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel. Let me tell you a little more about it, and perhaps you'll decide you would like to receive a free copy. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church here in North America, and this booklet aims to tell you what you need to know about our church. In a time when mainline Presbyterianism has become increasingly apostate, some people are surprised to find Presbyterians who still believe the Bible and stand for it without apology or compromise. Free Presbyterians are not the only Presbyterians who do this. There are other faithful men and churches, and we thank the Lord for them. However, they are increasingly difficult to find, and we want to nail our colours to the mast. We believe the Bible and seek to be faithful to it in every area. The booklet Separated Unto the Gospel sets forth a very brief historical sketch of how the Free Presbyterian Church came into being and what its doctrines and practices are. We know that in an age when there are so many charlatans and compromisers of Scripture around, people are justly wary of anything with which they are not familiar. We hope this booklet will help you to get to know us a little better. We'd be happy to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.com. freepress@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. So if you'd like to have the booklet separated unto the gospel, make sure you write or call. We look forward to hearing from you. Time now to turn to our study in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Continuing to look at the life of Christ, we're thinking of a very, very busy time in the life of the Savior. And today we come to the heart of the message, which is Christ, the physician of bodies and souls. Let's then turn to Matthew, chapter 8.
The common theme of these varied events in the passages we have read and mentioned is of Christ, the physician of bodies and souls. That's the theme I want us to consider for a few minutes this morning. And as we consider it, the very first thing that stands out is the sympathy of Christ. The Lord Jesus, He spoke to the most lowly of people, and as I pointed out, He touched the untouchable. Even a leper. Remember what I've said many a time, that the biblical disease of leprosy has nothing in common except a name with what is called leprosy today. It's not the same disease. There's no evidence that it, in fact, there's much evidence to the contrary that is even of the same family of diseases. This was a terribly contagious disease. A disease for which there was no cure, and nobody dared touch a leper. But He did. He healed the unhealable, even the demonized. And He did so because of what He felt in His heart for them. Notice the words of Matthew 8, verse 17. He said He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's a most interesting quotation from Isaiah 53 verse 4. Surely He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Pentecostalists and charismatics take this passage of Scripture in Matthew and Isaiah 53, and they have perverted it into a doctrine that they call healing in the atonement. Now let me make this clear. Every blessing that we ever receive is purchased by the blood of Christ. Ultimately, the glorification of our bodies was purchased at Calvary. And we will have glorified bodies in heaven because of what Jesus did at the cross. In that sense, healing is in the atonement. Actually, the quotation from Isaiah 53 here is fulfilled a long time before the cross. This is at the beginning of the earthly ministry of Christ, and it is the sympathy of Christ that is said to be the fulfillment, first and foremost, of His taking our sicknesses upon Himself. He did so with the heart of sympathy and of love. Now, ultimately, I say, He will give us a body in which there will be no disease, but that awaits our glorification. Every Pentecostalist preacher I have ever heard of, if he has lived long enough, has died. There was one who started a movement. In fact, he has still got people to this day following that movement. He wasn't going to die. He was killed in a car accident, I think it was in Oklahoma or someplace like that, about 1956. And they were waiting for his resurrection because he couldn't die. But believe me, he's dead. And like John Brown's body, it's mouldering in the grave. And there's been no resurrection as yet. So this notion that, you know, all sickness and all disease, it's all gone right now, because it's in the atonement, is a perversion of the teaching of God's Word. And it brings sincere Christians into utter bondage. Has them chasing after shadows. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sicknesses, first of all, with the heart of sympathy. You see that manifested in his healing ministry. Is he still able to heal? Yes, he is. I'm the last one in the world to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ can't heal. If that's his will to do it, he can do it. I've seen him do it. I don't believe in all the tomfoolery of the so-called faith healers who take all the glory for what they say is done and give you all the blame for what's not done. I've seen God answer prayer. I was there when God gave an immediate answer to prayer. I could bring you to a young woman today who's a big, strapping, healthy girl. When our session prayed for her and anointed her with oil, she was on the verge of death with a brain tumor, a malignant brain tumor that surgery couldn't remove. And overnight, God answered prayer. Yes, he can heal if he wishes. That's his will. We see his sympathy in this. Sometimes even now we've got to confess it is his will to heal, and sometimes it's not. But whatever his reply to the cry for healing now, remember, he is always touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows, he feels, he listens, he answers. And that's seen in these passages, in his constant availability to everybody in need, and especially in his treatment of this poor leper. Now remember that leprosy was a living death. Leprosy was also a moral death. The Old Testament, if you go back to the book of Leviticus, has very intricate laws concerning leprosy and the cleansing of the leper. Those laws imply that in the days of Moses, it was possible to see a leper healed, even in the natural course of events. But though that is implied, it has to be said that in all of Jewish history, there is not the slightest indication beyond the supernatural activities of God, say, in healing a man like Naaman. There is no indication that the Jews ever actually experienced a natural healing of leprosy. In fact, when you turn to what the rabbis wrote, you'll find that they developed more and more and more stringent laws to keep the lepers away, to put distance between ordinary people and the lepers. That's why they had to cover their face till above their lip and go around crying, unclean, unclean. They developed a rule that no one would come within about 6 or 8 feet of a leper. Why? Because even to have his breath upon you was so dangerous, they thought. They had no answer. The only answer of the world to the leper was cut him off and let him die. Lepers were a race apart. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ came, not only received him, not only heard him, but he touched him. He got nearer than any living man would dare to get. He did what no Jewish priest would dare to do. He came and he laid his hands upon this leper and he said, I will be thou clean. What a beautiful picture. While everybody else was turning him away, he touched him. And he transformed him. That's the Christ we're called to worship and to preach today. He's still the same. The sympathizing Jesus. The devil loves to get people in the place where they're cut off. Cut off from the church. Cut off from the ministers. Cut off from the elders. Cut off from the Christians. Cut off from society. You're not good enough. You're not upright enough. Your past life is so vile and filthy. Your present life is so ungodly. Your habits are so sinful and they bind you like chains and all the rest of it. So you could never relate to those religious crowds. You couldn't relate to them. Well, so what? The Lord Jesus comes. And where others say, stay away, he reaches out. And he gives you the touch of transforming grace. The sympathy of the Lord Jesus. I want you to know this morning. You may well have an ache in your heart that I can't understand. You may well have a dark shadow across your life that I cannot sympathize with. I will try, but I may well feel. But I want to tell you there's not. Brother Bray was so moved by the hymn that we sang on this very point that he quoted it to you again. You may well have these things that we can't touch, but I want you to know this. Whatever ache fills your heart, whatever trouble wrings your breast, the Lord Jesus Christ knows about it. He has felt it. And his heart goes out to you in that situation. Never feel alone, cut off, worthless, because people make you feel that way. The Son of God is the one with whom you've got to deal. And he is the sympathizing Christ. We also must note the sovereignty of Christ's will. The leper said, if thou wilt, thou canst. I love that. I use that in prayer a whole lot. Again and again I come before God with the words of the leper upon my lips. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst. And what did Jesus say? I will. On your way and hope for the best. No, sir. I will be thou clean. And instantaneously he was clean. What an example of the sovereignty of the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have examples of that sovereign will throughout the Gospels. His will rules winds and waves. Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. His will rules angels and demons. His will rules friends and foes. His will rules circumstances and events. His will rules the nations and the world. His will rules history and its end. We were singing, crown him the Lord of years. The potentate of time. Thank God. His is the sovereign will. And what a confidence this gives us. If thou wilt, thou canst. He, according to Ephesians 1:11, works all things after the counsel of his own will. So if he wills to do something, he can do it. The devil can't stop him. The world can't stop him. Politicians can't stop him. Acts of Congress can't stop him. All the armies of earth and hell combined can't stop him. If he wills, he can. That's the confidence here. That's one of the assurances we need when we're coming to pray. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're coming to God, you must know that he's able to answer prayer. If he wills to do it, he can do it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.